oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details. Because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose. By people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's something surreal about watching the justice system try to stitch together accountability in the aftermath of something as horrific as the Idaho murders. But at this point in the Koberger case, the public isn't even asking for poetic justice. They're not asking for grand gestures or sweeping statements or moral victories. They're asking for bare minimum responsibility, consequences that are so basic, so obvious, so universally agreed upon that even questioning them feels offensive. And that's why this latest ruling ordering Brian Koberger to pay for two victims' urns landed the way it did. It's symbolic. It's practical. It's overdue. And it is a reminder that even in a system that seems to bend and buckle under the weight, delays, filings, constitutional trophies, there are still moments where the court says, you don't get out from under this one. But then in the very next breath, the judge said something that cracked open a door no one wants to open, a door that leads to a place every high-profile case quietly fears. He can get a prison job or ask for donations. We're talking about Brian Koberger. You can get a prison job or ask for donations. Okay. A lot of people glossed right over that line. But that line is a Trojan horse. It sounded harmless, reasonable, logical. Of course, he should be able to work, right? They do have jobs in prison, in case you were unaware of that. Of course he should be able to pay the families, but wrapped inside that one sentence is a reality most people have never thought about and probably don't want to. Brian Koberger is now legally allowed to financially engage with the outside world. Not fully, not freely, not without limits, but enough. Enough for money to move. Enough for supporters to appear. Enough for fringe communities to mobilize. Enough for legally sanctioned income streams to start dripping in to his accounts. And here's where the conversation becomes something a little bit bigger than a $3,000 reimbursement, because the moment a court signals you can raise the money however you want, as long as it's lawful, you're no longer talking about restitution. You're talking about access. You're talking about influence. You're talking about the uneasy reality that a man convicted of murdering four college students is suddenly able to solicit, receive, and accumulate money from people on the outside. People you and I would never want anywhere near this case. Let's start with the basics here. And look, this isn't like he hasn't had this ability. It's just kind of more out there in the open now. Judge flat out saying, here's some ways you can make some money. Let's start with the basics. Prison labor exists. It is real. It is allowed. It is pennies. Literally, in most states, prisoners make between 8 cents to maybe a dollar an hour, depending on the job and the institution. Even in programs where inmates can work for private companies, the state usually takes a massive cut. So yes, he could pay restitution through labor, but not quickly, not meaningfully, and not without outside support, which is exactly where donations come in. This is the part people need to understand. The law cannot stop random citizens from sending an inmate money unless it violates a specific statute. It cannot stop religious groups, reform advocates, true crime extremists, anti-government radicals, conspiracy theorists, or borderline obsessed online factions from depositing money into an inmate's accounts. It cannot stop people from believing whatever narrative they've created for themselves. And it cannot stop someone like Koberger from benefiting from that belief. Now, let's say hypothetically that support grows and enough people decide he's a wronged man, a martyr, a political symbol, an anti-establishment icon, or simply a curiosity worth investing in. Suddenly, that restitution, the $30,000 plus the new $3,000, gets paid off faster than anyone planned for. And once it's paid off, here's where the conversation gets extremely uncomfortable. Because once restitution is satisfied, once the court has been made whole, the law shifts. Any additional money following in this is no longer automatically earmarked for victims. It becomes the inmates to use under prison guidelines. That means commissary money. It means access to books, vending machines, clothing, comfort products, hygiene items, electronics the system permits, sometimes education courses, sometimes outside work programming, and most importantly, social power inside prison. Money inside prison is not just money. It's leverage. It's protection. It's social currency. It is survival. The very thing the system hopes will hold an offender accountable can become the same thing that elevates them inside an institution. That is the most, that's the part most people don't understand. And then there's the darkest layer of all, the one no one wants to touch because the implications are too unsettling. The myth that a convicted killer can never sell his story. That myth died years ago. Son of Sam laws were originally created to stop criminals from profiting off their crimes, selling book deals, movie rights, interviews, but the Supreme Court knocked the original version down because it violated the First Amendment. Since then, states have kind of tried to piecemeal and craft narrower versions, but none of them are absolute. Many only activate if the offender is directly profiting from recounting the crime itself. Others are triggered only when the state can prove a connection between the story and the offense. Others require a victim to file the claim. Some states barely enforce them. What that means in practice is simple. A murderer can, under certain conditions, legally sell elements of their story as long as it's packaged creatively enough. They can collaborate with a third party. They can license an intellectual property angle. They can write fiction. They can publish unrelated commentary. They can give interviews with nonprofit organizations. They can have someone else profit on their behalf. The system only stops direct, provable crime profit, not the ecosystem surrounding it. And that ecosystem always finds ways to operate in the shadows. In Koberger's case, the risk isn't that he'll write a memoir tomorrow. The risk is that the legal and financial infrastructure he needs to do so someday is now being built out under the guise of restitution. Because once a door is open, people walk through it. Some walk for the right reasons, many walk for the wrong ones. And say he keeps getting money. Say the fringe groups latch on. Say he becomes another member of the gallery of high-profile offenders who end up with fan bases. He already has one. We've seen it with Bundy, with Ramirez, with Lyle and Eric Menendez, with Casey Anthony, with Chris Watts. With every case that picks up a cult following of people who want to believe the unbelievable, we are watching the early phase of that ecosystem forming around him, not because people think he's innocent necessarily, although some do, but some people love the attention they get from attaching themselves to a monster. And now the legal system just handed those people an avenue. If you want to help him pay the restitution, go ahead. And of course, some will. Not because they care about doing the right thing, because donating gives him proximity or gives them proximity. It gives them a sense of connection, gives them a sense of identity in a really weird, sick way. And once restitution is done, once the official debt is cleared, the only remaining question is who controls the money he continues to receive? Because the answer, unless the court intervenes with specific restrictions, is him. That's the nightmare no one is talking about. Not the $3,000, not the fact that he owes restitution, but the legal road the system just paved for him to accumulate resources, validation, and down the line, the ability to legally monetize his existence. In some ways, the ruling was right. He should pay every cent he owed, without a doubt. He should pay more. He should feel the weight of every financial burden he forced onto those families. But pretending that this ruling comes with no collateral risks is naive, because the truth is that the justice system cannot both demand restitution and simultaneously shut down the mechanisms that allow restitution to be paid. Those mechanisms come with fine print, and Brian Koberger is the kind to figure out what's in that fine print. He's the kind of figure who attracts exactly the people who read fine print and think, perfect. The judge is right to demand payment. The public is right to be worried about what doors open once the bill is settled. Because accountability is straightforward, the aftermath is not. In the aftermath, money moves in ways the laws can't and won't fully control. Give me your thoughts in the comment section. Without a doubt, any penny he's getting in, it needs to go to the restitution. Although it's a percentage on the dollar, if you knew that. I think it's 20% in Idaho. Don't quote me on that. meaning he gets 80%. So if you send him a dollar, 80 cents is what he can spend on Cheetos or whatever he wants to get in the commissary or whatever Big Bubba wants him to get in the commissary or however the hell that's all working out for him. And then 20 cents goes to the victims. I could be wrong. That's what I recall reading the last time I was diving into that area. Not enough. How long does it take 20 cents at a time, 20 cents at a dollar to get to $33,000? Could take a while. It could certainly take a while. Could take a lifetime. Or if he gets one of those sweetheart deals for a book or a movie or whatever it may be. Could be fulfilled like that. And then what? Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you will find it. My name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.